This message is a ministry of North River Church. Visit us online at gonorthriver.org.
Go ahead and grab your Bibles this morning and join me in the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 22, 2 Kings chapter 22. If you're not sure where 2 Kings is, it's right after 1 Kings. If you have no clue where that is, that's fine as well. You can turn to the index in your Bible. It'll tell you exactly which page to go to find 2 Kings. We're going to begin a four-week series. I wanted for us to look at some resolutions that we might make as followers of Jesus as we think about this coming year, as we think about 2017, our walk with Christ, how that's going to grow, how that's going to move forward. How many of you, just be honest this morning, have already made New Year's resolutions? Just raise your hand. Made New Year's resolutions? About three of you. That's great. The rest of you have failed. No, I'm just kidding. Here's the thing about New Year's resolutions. About mid-January to mid-February, all those people you saw running on the way to church this morning won't be there. Amen, right? You know, the thing about New Year's resolutions, one of them that is probably pretty common, one that you may have made, is that you want to lose some weight this year. I want to read this to you. I think this may help you out as you're working through that. This is called a dieter's prayer. It says, "Lord, my soul is ripped with riot, incited by my wicked diet. We are what we eat," said a wise old man. "Lord, if that's true, I'm a garbage can. To rise on judgment day, it's plain. With my present weight, I'll need a crane. So grant me strength that I may not fall into the clutches of cholesterol. And may my flesh with carrot curls be dated, that my soul may be polyunsaturated. And show me the light that I may bear witness to the president's council on physical fitness. And at margarine, I'll never mutter, for the road to hell is spread with butter. And cream is cursed, and cake is awful, and Satan is hiding in every waffle. Demons lurk in provolone, the devil is in each slice of bologna. Beelzebub is a chocolate drop, and Lucifer is a lollipop. Give me this day my daily slice, cut it thin, and toast it twice. I beg upon my dimpled knees, deliver me from sweet tea. And when my trials, my days of trial are done, and my war with malted milk is won, let me stand with heavenly throng in a shining robe size 30 long. I can do it, Lord, if you'll show to me the virtues of lettuce and celery, and teach me the evil of mayonnaise, and of Krispy Kreme donut glaze, and crisp fried chicken from the South. Lord, if you love me, shut my mouth." If you'd like a copy of that, I can get that to you. You know, one of the things that I thought about as we begin this series, as we begin this journey of looking at some resolutions, some things that for us as believers we want to do over the course of the next year, I can't help but think of one of the primary things that should be on all of our list as believers is that God's Word would be a priority for us in this coming year. That God's Word would be foundational to everything that we do in our lives as believers. And for us, I want us to look this morning at a passage of Scripture, one that I hope will make it even more clear to us how important God's Word is in our lives as believers. And so as you look with me, 2 Kings chapter 22, we're going to begin in verse 3, but I want to catch you up to speed with what's going on in the passage this morning. You see, the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, had decided quickly that they wanted a king just like all of the other nations. And God said to them, "Listen, I will be your king. I will be your guide. I will lead you." And they said, "That's fine, but we really want a king like all the other nations around us. That's really what we want." And God said, "That's fine. I'll give you what you want." Isn't it interesting that sometimes what we want is not what is best for us in the Christian life? And so God gives Israel a king. The first king's name is Saul, and he's not a godly king at all. And then he's followed up by David. And after David, you see just constantly these kings come and go that many of them, for the most part, don't know the Lord very well. They're not walking with him. In fact, they're following whatever the world is saying is most important to them, and they're leading God's people astray. And then we encounter this young boy who, at the age of 8 years old, assumes the throne in Judah. His name is Josiah. And this is the story that we find in 2 Kings chapter 22, beginning in verse 3. It says, "In the 18th year of King Josiah, the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, son of Meshullam, the secretary, to the house of the Lord, saying, 'Go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may count the money that has been brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the threshold have collected from the people. And let it be given into the hand of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the workmen who are at the house of the Lord, repairing the house, that is, to the carpenters and to the builders and to the masons. And let them use it for buying timber and quarried stone to repair the house. But no accounting shall be asked from them for the money that is delivered into their hand, for they deal honestly.' And Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the secretary, 'I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord.'" Now, you can't find something unless it's what? Lost. "I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the secretary came to the king and reported to the king, "Your servants have emptied out the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord." And then Shaphan the secretary told the king, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read it before the king. And when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam the son of Shaphan and Achbor the son of Micaiah and Shaphan the secretary and Azariah the king's servant, saying, "Go inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us." So Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam and Achbor and Shaphan and Azariah went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikvah, son of Harhas. If you're looking for names this year, there you go. Keeper of the wardrobe. And she lived in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and they talked with her. And she said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring disaster upon this place and upon its inhabitants. All the words of this book that the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and have made offerings to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore, my wrath will be kindled against this place, and it will not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, regarding the words that you have heard, because your heart was penitent, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard how I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and you have torn your clothes and wept before me. I also have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the disaster that I will bring upon this place." And they brought back word to the king. And then the king sent, and all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem were gathered to him. And the king went up to the house of the Lord, and with him all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests and the prophets, all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant that had been found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people joined in the covenant. Father, we ask you this morning that you would give us insight into your word. Father, that you would use it to challenge us. Lord, to convict us, to encourage us. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You know, as you look this morning at this text, it's really a remarkable story. So just to break it down for you, what's going on in Judah at this point is they are renovating the temple. And we're kind of familiar with that. We've been raising money to pay off the land, to go to the construction of a new building, and that's something that we're familiar with. They were giving as well so that they could renovate the temple. And the money has come in, and it's time for the money to be delivered so that the temple can be renovated. And they deliver the money, and all of a sudden, word comes back that we have found a book. Just imagine with me, if you will, that you go to church every Sunday, but the Bible's not involved. You go, and really it's more of a ritual than anything else. There's not a whole lot going on with regards to God's Word. Just imagine if you come in week after week and year after year, and nothing really happens with God's Word. We may kind of reference it occasionally. We may say, you know, this book kind of gives us the reason for which we gather, but it's really not central to what we do. In fact, it kind of just sits on a shelf off in the corner. And if you press someone and said, hey, where is God's Word? They probably over there in a closet somewhere. And in fact, that's exactly what's going on for God's people here. They have found a book, which means they had previously lost the book. And it's not just any book, it's God's Word that His people have lost. Now, let me just press in for a moment and say, that's not too far-fetched in the culture in which we live. Where God's Word is not held in high esteem, where God's Word is not the foundation for which the church exists and the reason that the church gathers to hear God's Word, to respond to Him as His Word is preached and as we sing His Word, as we gather together in groups and study His Word, that should be the foundation. But let me just say to you, that's not always the case in every church. You may have been part of a church where God's Word was just kind of the token to get to the real stuff. You know, the fun stuff, the stuff about how you are to live your life. Like 5 steps to be a better husband. 10 reasons to give more money. I want you to hear me this morning. God's Word for us is the foundation for every single thing we do. If we lose this, we have lost everything. For Judah at this point, for God's people at this point, they are wrapped up in tradition. They are wrapped up in what they were supposed to do, which is give so that the temple could be renovated. But church, they had lost the very reason for which they exist. What good is a temple to worship the Lord when you don't have His Word? They go through this process of finding God's Word. And it had to have taken a while If Josiah comes to power when he's 8 years old, it's in his 18th year. For 10 years, at least, during Josiah's reign, and then long before that, we're certain the money comes to the temple and they find a book. Verse 8, Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the secretary, I have found the book of the law. Just ask a question. How does the high priest not know where God's word is? Ever wondered that? It'd be like me coming in one day and say, hey guys, I found the Bible this week when I was cleaning out some stuff. My hope would be that you would not be here, right? You would be at a church where the gospel is preached, where God's word is lifted up, but that's what's going on. It says, I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Now listen to this. Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. Shaphan is the king's secretary. And he read it. And Shaphan the secretary came to the king and reported to the king, your servants have emptied out the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord. King, we've done what you asked us to do, but I need to drop something on you. Verse 10. Shaphan the secretary told the king, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Up until this point, and all of Josiah's life, he's never heard the word of God. This king of God's people had never heard God's word. Now, sure, he probably had a passing knowledge or understanding of it, but he'd never actually heard God's word as it was read. And in this moment, Shaphan, the secretary, reads the book. And at this point in time, it's most likely the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. He reads Genesis through Deuteronomy to Josiah the king. You remember the first time that you heard God's word read? Remember the first time that you heard God's word read and power, and it began to convict you maybe of sin in your life, or it encouraged you because of who God is and what he's done? I'll never forget, I was at a conference and we were listening to a guy speak, and he was going to preach on Romans chapter 9. And he said, listen, he said, the honest truth is, for you to understand what's going on in Romans chapter 9, you need to know what's going on in Romans chapters 1 through 8. And he said, since you need to know that, I figured I would at least share with you what's going on in Romans chapter 1 through 8. And beginning in Romans chapter 1, verse 1, quoted, no notes, no Bible in front of him, quoted Romans chapter 1, verse 1 through Romans chapter 8. There is power in God's word as it's read. There's power in God's word as it's read corporately. There's power in God's word as we read it in our own lives personally. If you're taking notes this morning, I want you to write this down. God's word should be a priority because it is a precious gift from him. God's word should be a priority because it is a precious gift from him. Realize what this book contains is God's story of redemption, his love story of sending his son Jesus to save us from our sins. That is what this book is about. Jesus, as he's walking with the two men on the road to Emmaus, turns and says to them and explains to them all that's contained in this book that pertains to him. You realize when you begin in Genesis chapter 1, you are beginning with the story of God's love and God's Son coming into the world. You say, well, you don't find Jesus till you get to Matthew. No, you begin to find him at all points in the Old Testament. All of Scripture is pointing us in a direction, and that direction is towards Jesus. Let me ask you this morning, is God's Word a priority in your life? Is God's Word important to you? If you were to take inventory over the last year, over 2016, how important was God's Word in your life as a believer, in your spiritual growth? Were you much like the people here in Judah where you kind of know it's on a shelf somewhere, but you haven't had a whole lot of familiarity with it? I want you to listen to the words of the psalmist, and this is what the psalmist writes in Psalm 119, beginning in verse 97. I want you to listen to this and ask yourself, is this how I would describe God's Word? Psalmist writes, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my freewill offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. You got to know, the psalmist thought God's word was something important. The psalmist thought that God's word was something that he needed. And can I say to you this morning, as we are in 2017 and as we look over the course of the next year, your life as a believer will be defined, I promise you, by the time that you spend in God's word. Your life as a believer will be marked by the time that you spend in God's word. Now, let me ease you into something just for a second. You say, Michael, I don't even know where to start. You may be sitting here this morning, you say, I want to read God's word. I want to understand it. I want to know it. I want to walk all the way through it. And you may be tempted this morning to say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start one of those Bible reading programs. One of those that you read through the entire Bible in the course of a year. And usually works this way, that by the time you get into Leviticus, somewhere around February 18th, you're like, I don't even know what I was doing. So let me say to you this morning, if your habit is not to read through the Scriptures or to spend a lot of time in God's Word, can I just encourage you, start small. Pick out one of the letters that Paul wrote, something like Ephesians, and just say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to read one verse out of Ephesians every single day. Or maybe you're going to read a chapter. Or maybe you are going to take the plunge and you're going to try to work your way through Leviticus and you want to read through the entire Bible in the course of this next year. For us as believers, God's Word should be a priority in our lives. Our growth will be directly tied to the time that we spend in communion with God through His Word. And so the question this morning would be simply, what's your plan? For God's Word to be a priority for you over the course of the next year, what is your plan? I know in my own life, for me, there's a couple of things that I have to do, that I have to make sure. One is, I've got to know when I'm going to do it. For me, the when is early in the morning. For you, you may hate mornings, and that's perfectly acceptable. I mean, Jesus got up early in the morning, the Bible says, but I don't want to push that on you or anything. You may be a night person, or you may have a lunch break, or you just have to set aside, what time am I going to pause? Am I going to make this my time that I spend in God's Word? So when are you going to do it? The second question is, where are you going to do it? I have a place. It's my place. Nobody else can go to my place except for the dog in the morning. He comes in there with me and curls up and just kind of looks at me wondering why I got up so early. But you got to have a place. You got to know that this is the spot I go and this is the time I go to this spot. And then you've got to have a plan. What are you going to read? For me, I've made it a habit through the years of reading through the Scriptures. I want to get from Genesis to Revelation and to meditate on it and to understand it and to spend time in it every single morning. You say, Michael, that's easy for you. You're a pastor. Like you wake up in the morning and your first thought is, I got to read the Bible. I mean, you have angelic visitations when you go into your spot. I know it. That's the way it happens. I know that that's what happens. Can I tell you, I struggle to wake up in the mornings. I mean, I throw the alarm clock across the room. My wife says, what's wrong with you? No, but it becomes a discipline in our lives as believers. We discipline ourselves, the Bible tells us, for the purpose of godliness in our lives. Is God's Word a priority in your life? For the people here, they had no idea what they were missing out on. They didn't even know that God's Word was there. And all of a sudden, they come to find out very quickly, God's Word is important. God's Word is necessary for His people. I want you to notice in verse 11, it says, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. That's kind of a strange response. He hears the words read to him, and his first response is that he tears his clothes, which at this point in time was simply an act of humility, an act of repentance. It was the fact that he had first encountered God's Word at the age of 18, never heard it before. He knew that it probably was important, but he'd never heard God's Word, and he tears his clothes. And then he commands Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the secretary, and Uzziah the king's servant. And this is what he says in verse 13. This is what Josiah, after hearing God's Word, he says, go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. After hearing the Word of God read, Josiah's first response is, we got a problem. Because God's Word says that this is the way that we should go, and we're way over here. In fact, we haven't been following the Lord. Our fathers who came before us have led us down the wrong path. There's a huge problem. Guys, we've got to figure this out. Is God going to exercise His wrath and His judgment against us for not following His word? What are we to do? How do we respond? Verse 14, Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, Achbor, Shaphan, Azariah went to Huldah the prophetess. This was a lady who God used in direct communication with Him to speak to His people. Verse 15, she said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring disaster upon this place and upon its inhabitants." Isn't that the kind of news you want for the new year? "All the words of the book that the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and have made offerings to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the work of their hands. Therefore, my wrath will be kindled against this place, and it will not be quenched." Isn't that the news you want to deliver to the king? Josiah had heard God's word read, and he says, "Listen, we got to figure out what's going on." And this lady says, "Here's what's about to happen. God's going to exercise His judgment. He's going to pour out His wrath on you, on this nation, because you've forsaken Him." Listen to verse 18. "But to the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus you will say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, regarding the words that you have heard." Verse 19, "because your heart was penitent." He tore his clothes because he realized the sin of the nation. "Because your heart was penitent and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard how I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they should become a desolation and accursed, and you have torn your clothes and you wept before me, I also have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes will not see all the disaster that I will bring upon this place." And they brought back word to the king. If you're taking notes this morning, here's the second truth. Not only should God's word be a priority because it's a precious gift from Him, but God's word should also be a priority because it convicts us of sin. God's word should be a priority in our lives because it convicts us of sin. It's a precious gift from Him, but God's word has a purpose in our lives. That purpose is not always a feel-good purpose. In fact, often God uses His word and our time in His word, the Bible says, to expose us, expose the desires of our heart, expose the intentions of our heart, to expose what's really most important in our lives. God's word says that it's like a two-edged sword, that it divides, it exposes, it shows us what's really true about who we are and what our desires are in our life. It exposes our sin. It shows us our desperate need for a Savior. See, here's the thing that you realize when you spend time consistently in God's Word. Now, you may think, the more time I spend in God's Word, the better I get. Think, the more time I spend in God's Word, the more knowledge I have, the more understanding, like I get a little bit closer to Jesus and things are better. But here's what you realize. If you look at what happens in the Apostle Paul's life, by the time he gets to the end of his life, you know what his words are? "I'm worse than any other sinner on the planet." See, here's the truth for us as believers. The more time we spend in God's Word, the more we realize the sin that's present in our life and our desperate need for our Savior. The more time we spend in God's Word, we don't look up and stick our chest out and say, look at me. I spent time in God's Word this morning. And we spend time in God's Word and we realized, oh, wow. I didn't realize that was in my heart. Oh, God, forgive me. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, who has saved me from my sin. The more time we spend in God's Word, the more we realize how much growth still needs to happen in our lives as believers. We realize how much we still need Jesus. See, the reality is that we don't just need Jesus to get saved. We need Jesus every single day of our lives. The gospel for us as believers, that which was precious to us, that Christ came to save us from our sins, it's important when we first meet Him. But can I tell you, the more time that we spend in God's Word, the more precious Christ and what He's done for us becomes in our lives. What's your plan? What time? Where? Will you allow God through His Word to search your heart, to expose sin, to show you where the idols are in your life, to challenge you, to encourage you, to build you up in your walk with Him? God's Word should be a priority in our lives. God's Word shows us our sin, but here's the third truth. We see it in the first three verses of chapter 23. God's Word should be a priority because it transforms our lives. Beginning in verse 1, this is what it says in 2 Kings 23. Then the king sent. Now, pause for a second and just walk yourselves back and remember what Josiah had heard, the word that came back to him. Josiah, the people are going to experience God's judgment, but you're good because you responded to the word. Now, at this point, Josiah technically could have said, guys, I'm good. I don't know what's going to happen to the rest of y'all. That's not what he does. Verse 1 of chapter 23, the king sent, and all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem were gathered to him. And the king went up to the house of the Lord, and with him all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests and the prophets, all the people, both small and great. Listen to this. And he, the king, read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant that had been found in the house of the Lord. Josiah calls all of the nation together, and he reads Genesis through Deuteronomy to the people. I want you to notice their response. The king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep His commandments and His testimonies and His statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. Josiah, after reading God's word, says to the people, listen, I, as your king, as your leader, am going to submit myself to God's word, and I'm going to live according to what it says that we should do as His people. And all the people joined in the covenant. These people that had most likely never heard God's word read publicly respond just like Josiah did, in repentance before the Lord, in recognition that they had missed the boat, that they needed to walk with the Lord. And at this point, these people's lives are transformed by God's word. And I say to you this morning, your life as a believer will be transformed by the time that you spend in God's word. See, one of the things that I made the mistake of when I answered God's call to ministry. I took off to seminary and spent time studying God's Word. I mean, that's all we did, study the Bible. And I made the mistake of thinking that me studying the Bible was primarily about me getting information, of knowing more, right? I mean, that's what pastors are supposed to do, know more than everybody else, right? At least about the Bible. So the goal was learn more of the Bible, have more knowledge, more understanding of the Bible. But can I tell you this morning, the point of spending time in God's Word is not to gain information. It's to experience life transformation. If you're here this morning and your time in God's Word is primarily about, let me learn more stuff, you'll miss the purpose that God's Word exists for. God's Word exists to change your life. That's what happened to the people here. That's what happened to Josiah. When God's Word was read, when God's Word was declared, their lives were transformed. Can I say to you this morning, that's the exact same thing that will happen in your life as you spend time in God's Word and allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through your life. As God's Word is applied, as God's Word exposes sin, as God's Word directs your steps, as God's Word shows you the life that He's called you to live, your life will be transformed. I want to ask you if you'd bow your heads with me this morning and close your eyes and invite the worship team to come back up. Let me say to you this morning that this message was in no way put together and delivered for you to feel guilty. The reality is, for every single one of us, there's room to improve in our lives with regards to God's Word. I don't want you to walk away this morning feeling guilty. I want you to walk away this morning feeling encouraged and challenged. That over the course of this next year, you have the beautiful opportunity sitting before you to spend time in God's Word. To allow His Word to search your heart and for your life to be transformed by it. That every single day when you open it, God stands there ready to speak to you through His Word. There's no greater privilege in all the world that we have as believers of being able to commune, to meet with God as we spend time in His Word. So my simple questions to you this morning are, what's your plan? How will you be certain that 2017 will be the year that God's Word is a priority in your life? God's Word is foundational to every single thing that you do. Maybe you start with a book. One of Paul's letters, or maybe one of the Gospels. Or maybe you read through the Bible this year. What's your plan? And then where are you going to do it? Maybe the step you need to take this morning is to nail down that plan and go home and clear you out of space. Put you a chair there. And before the Lord say, God, this is where I want to meet with You every day. Maybe you need to take the step of clearing your calendar at a certain time, placing time to meet with God on it. Maybe you need to get up earlier in the morning whatever that step is, I want to encourage you this morning. Your growth as a believer over 2017 will be directly tied to the time you spend in God's Word. Make it a priority this year. Father, we come to you this morning as your people gather under your Word. And Father, we thank you for a reminder at the beginning of a year that you desire to meet with us every single day. And Father, that you've gifted us the most precious gift that we could ever ask for. And that's your Word to us. We get to hold it. We get to open it. We get to read it. We get to meet with you. Father, may we take advantage of that this year. May we use this opportunity to nail that down, that 2017, one of the priorities for me as a believer this year is that I'm going to spend time in the Word. We ask that in Christ's name. Amen. I want to invite you to stand. We'll sing. You respond to the Lord this morning.